I feel like you've gotten me unstuck. I really needed that framework for going forward, and I feel like you gave that to me.
Whatever I've been doing hasn't been working. Might as well try a different strategy. Thank you to you, Paula. I'm glad I found you.
Thank you so much, Paula. I really do truly appreciate you. This was awesome.
Sick of sacrificing or settling in your romantic life? Welcome to Make Him Wonder with Coach Paula Grooms, where women struggling in real relationships ask the expert. Unscripted, unfiltered, understandable coaching conversations to help passionate women succeed in love.
Hi there, and welcome to Make Him Wonder. I'm your host, Coach Paula, a dating and relationship coach for women, licensed social worker, and author of the book, Why Won't He Commit? How a Man Decides to Make You the One. I coach you to find a potential Mr. Right, get an ex back, or grow an existing relationship with a man you truly desire, and learn how to inspire his continued interest for the relationship of your dreams so that you level up to the complete commitment you totally deserve. My guest today is 36-year-old Pippa. Pippa was in a relationship with 31-year-old Dan, and we'll be talking about why he is now her ex. Her questions include, why do men seem to stop communicating once you commit to them? And how to actually be less available when you really like someone? Pippa wanted to come on today in hopes that our discussion can help other women from feeling alone when single. Welcome, Pippa.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I want to hear first about what happened with Dan and how you came to be an ex. When was that? How recently?
I became to be an ex last month. I took him for granted. I didn't appreciate him in a lot of ways. And I think once I begin to notice, you know, a change in his behavior, I then begin to kind of pour into him. And I think it was kind of too late because he told me that he needed some space. And during the space, I found out that he had been hooking up with a past person that he used to talk to. His reason was he said that, you know, she was fun and that dating me was just like a lot of responsibility, and that, you know, sometimes it was a financial burden on him, and that, you know, that she was just fun. And so from then, we haven't really spoke. Of course, I really don't feel like he tried to hear me out, to, like, hear my feelings, like, hey, let's, like, really try to give our relationship a chance. He said he just wanted to be single, and he really didn't want to give the relationship a chance. We had been doing really well. I didn't know that we were having, like, you know, like, a mini issues up until this. So the breakup was kind of sudden.
I'm sorry to hear that. How did you meet?
We actually met online on Hinge.
And how did it start?
We started, we were, of course, casually talking on Hinge, and then he asked me out on a date. Our first date, we went to an escape game room, and we went to, like, a dinner and, like, interactive game place after. We went to dinner, and from there, we continued to talk to each other, you know, on the phone, going on different dates, and then eventually he asked me to be his girlfriend, and we went from there, you know, doing things that regular couples do, spending the night during the week sometime, you know, hanging out.
At what point did you have sex when you first met?
But maybe about 3 months in, yeah, because I always try to do that 90-day rule.
I see. So this makes sense to me, a year in, what you just explained happened. And I'm going to give you some context in how I see that or come to that conclusion. Just before, I want to ask you, had you seen him prior to him telling you and breaking it off, pulling back at all or changes in his behavior?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, I just noticed he stopped coming over as much, calling, the calls became less. And when I asked about it, he just told me, oh, you're overthinking it. You're overthinking it. You know, what do you think? I don't like you anymore. You're crazy. You're crazy. You're overthinking.
Okay. What is his background? Was he ever married? Does he have children?
No. Single guy, never married. He does have one child, and so do I.
Okay. How much is he involved with that child?
Very active father. They have split custody. He gets her every other weekend. He'll have her for 2 weekends and then they'll go back on a rotation.
And why is he not with the mother of that child? Did he tell you?
He told me she cheated on him.
Do you believe that?
Now I don't know. Now I don't know.
All right. And before I tell you what I think is going to help you to understand the why of this, tell me exactly how he broke it off.
Okay, so sorry if it's a little long. So I had went out with a girlfriend the night before, and I noticed he didn't call me. So I called him the next day, and I was like, gosh, you didn't even call me to check on me or anything. And he was like, oh, I was asleep. And I was like, well, gosh, as my man, I think you should call and check on me. And so from there, he was like, you know what? I need some space. And so after that, I'm thinking, like, we're going to talk later. I called him, and he blocked me. And so for weeks, I kept calling. And then finally, I went to his house. And when I went to his house, there was a car there. And he doesn't have a lot of company, so I knew something was off. And I saw a car there. He didn't open up the door. And then later on, I was like, you know, I accused him. I was like, you know, did you have a girl there? What's going on? You know, and he was like, it's not nothing. It's somebody I used to talk to, like, way back in the day. We were just, like, hookup buddies. I just need some time alone. I just need to be by myself. You know, I'm sorry. I could have told you in a different way. I take a lot of people for granted. Yeah. And so that was that. Oh, and he told me that he felt like I didn't appreciate him enough. And then so earlier in our conversations, I had very specific gender roles. You know, I would tell him, in order for me to submit to a man, I need you to provide. I pay my own bills. The only thing I would really ask him would be to, like, take me on dates, you know, get groceries whenever I would cook and stuff. And so that was, and maybe, like, get my hair or my nails done. Those are the things that I asked him for, but I never asked him to pay bills. And so he just said he felt like I asked for a lot and that, you know, sometimes he couldn't afford it, but he never told me that until now. And eventually, in the beginning, he told me that he made all of this money, but I'm starting to think maybe he was lying. I don't know. But yeah, so he told me he felt like I didn't appreciate him enough and that I wasn't willing to settle for less. And he said he felt like he wasn't good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even though I consistently tried to tell him that he was and, you know, show him in different ways. But here's my thing. I'm not going to take care of a man. I'm not. I will do nice feminine things for you. If I cook for you, I expect you to buy the food, you know, things like that.
Okay. So there's a little bit off in the setup of your relationship. There was a lot right, but somewhere along the line, it went off course. And I believe that is because it seemed from his perspective that this was a done deal, yet he never fully committed. And so it was confusing for him and felt artificially confining.
Well, I don't understand when you say not fully committed.
Okay, I'm glad you asked it, because most women do not, because of a fundamental difference between us, that women view commitment as a natural outgrowth of love. Men view commitment as a responsibility that they decide on first and then act on. And he never made that decision formally. Why modern relationships have such difficulty is not typically because of the woman. It's because it is too confusing for the man. Because men only commit in one way and they only bond in one way. The commitment for the man is making the decision and being formal and public about it. Now, I'm talking in gross generalizations because there are always outliers whereby it works. So everything I say is in general, on the whole, this is how it works best. Marriage was born out of the need of men to make a formal public decision to commit and act on that, because men view commitment as a responsibility. It is the difference I talk about via the puppy principle, which is generally we as women love all puppies and we love to look at them. We want to pet them all. We could love on them all. And it's not until we are at a place in our lives coupled with the love of a certain puppy that we commit to it. We take on the responsibility we see pet ownership as being. And when we do that, we then start to bond with that particular puppy. It's not that we still don't love all the others, but we live up to the formal public commitment we have taken on that is a responsibility for and to that puppy. Men are like us in that way, with us, meaning they love all women and they must be in a place ready, and then it has to be right puppy. I'm hearing you were right puppy, but what happened was that he didn't make the formal public commitment to take you on as a responsibility, and yet he felt the responsibility, and that made him want to run out and get licks and pets from all other puppies. It's very, very different for men than it is us. We don't need a formal public commitment. We, when in love, have sex, we are committed and bonded. There's no decision about it. It just happens. What I'm hearing is that you put him in a place of commitment, and you said it, I felt we were committed. And then you expected that he would take you on as a responsibility. No, it doesn't work that way for men. It's they formally take it on via a decision, and then they live up to that decision.
But here's my thing. If he's not providing anything financially, what, you know, I don't understand.
Well, you say providing anything financially. I don't know that you had any talk about actually being in each other's lives for anything other than this relationship, but not marriage. Was there any talk of marriage?
Yes, that's what, well, at the beginning, that was the end goal. You know, he was dating to marry, and so was I. And so he has his own place and I have my own place. And so he would come over often. So I would require, like, hey, can you get the groceries, you know, if you're coming over to the house, and I would cook and everything. If we went to dinner or something like that, he would pay.
Okay. So he felt, in terms of your dating, he was doing his part. But he's not going to do things like,
I trust you're enjoying Make Him Wonder, and that you're getting a lot of helpful information for the life of love you desire and deserve. So if you're not part of the 80-20 Wonder Club yet, you need to be, because now Make Him Wonder is exclusive, a members-only club to listen to every episode, past, present, and future, in full, all ad-free. The 80-20 Wonder Club is a Make Him Wonder membership that gives you all of seasons 1, 2, and 3 in a categorized list by age and relationship status, and a multimedia library of my content, including my book, Relationship Evals, and my Mechanics of Men Mindset Manual, a weekly action step you can focus on to attract and keep the man of your dreams and have him committing to you completely in the coming months. Make this the moment you start living as an 80-20 Wonder Woman, because love, like life, is best lived in 80-20. When you do 80% of what works with men, the 20% you don't won't much matter. Join the 80-20 Wonder Club by going to the 8020wonder.club. Don't miss out. Go now to the 8020wonder.club. You and your man will be glad you did.
But he's not going to do things like pay for your hair and nails or do more than that when it's not a formal public commitment. Why didn't marriage happen or engagement happen out of the talks you had at the beginning?
Well, now that I don't know.
So it's almost a year right now, right? All right. So what happened is that he didn't have the formal public commitment. So for the man, it's not the same kind of bonding. He felt he had many of the restrictions of a fully committed relationship, but because he didn't take that oath and did not bond through taking on the responsibility formally by making a decision, he felt he could step out and then go and have fun with easy girls that just allowed him to do that. It's not because he didn't love you necessarily, or not even because he didn't want what you want, but it went out a little too long without you guiding it and making it known that you will only continue with engagement and marriage.
Okay.
It sounds like this is something kind of foreign that you're hearing.
I really, honestly, if I'm being honest, I really assumed that he was proposed, because we spent so much time together. We took trips. I met his family. He met my family. I really thought that eventually he would propose. I didn't know when, but I just felt that he would.
And this is a cautionary tale for anyone listening. It doesn't generally work like that. I have a video on my YouTube. I call it My Girlfriend Law of Diminishing Returns. And that is, the longer we go on giving the man all and everything without getting the concurrent commitment via the man's decision, the more we can be lessened in his eyes of wanting to do so, or feeling like he has to do so in order to have you in his life.
Mm.
That's just male. It's unfortunate. I wish it were not that, but that's what it is. So there's a shot for you to have it, but you must do things differently. I'm hearing very typical but egregious mistakes, like you calling him, you going over there. You said, I kept calling him for 2 weeks without an answer.
Mm-hmm.
This cannot be done.
He's very mad about that. He's very mad about that. He is very mad that I found out, because I told him that he needed space. So he was mad because he said, if I wouldn't have came to his house, I would have never found out about the girl, and that he needed some space and that. And so now he has blocked my phone number. We're blocked on Instagram. He unfollowed me. So now I just feel like I don't know if we'll ever be able to get this back. And I'm very upset, because I can't believe, how could he just block me and move on so fast?
Because he's male, and it's very, very, very different for men than it is for women. Men do not commit out of love. Men are born to spread their seed.
Mm-hmm.
They are not born to be with just one woman. That is a societal, religious, moral, cultural, altogether construct. Doesn't mean that men can't and won't abide by it. And as a matter of fact, they are much better and more successful in life when they do abide by it. It's been constructed via time in memoriam because it is utilitarian in our society. Left to their own devices, men will simply run amok and be destructive, hurtful. Societies that do not have marriage and nuclear family don't do very well.
Well, here's my thing, Paula. I just feel I have tried to apologize. I have, you know, kind of poured my heart out to him, and he just keeps saying, I just need some space. I just need some space. If we're meant to be, then, you know, God will align us back. I just need some space. And he just was like, it's not saying that I don't care about you, because I care about you. Everything I did for you, I did from the heart, but I just need space. And I'm like, how do you all of a sudden need so much space when we were literally in each other's skin? And now you're just moving on?
Okay, I can tell you why. It is incredibly typical. You made one very big mistake in that you were all up in each other's skin and you allowed that. That doesn't allow for the man to wonder. And without the commitment formally of marriage, where he's decided to take you on as a responsibility, men see commitment as being, you will not get anywhere with that. Of course he needed space. It was too all-consuming and too much. That takes away his feeling of freedom. And when he hasn't made the decision, we hurt ourselves by doing that. what I'm hearing and the egregious mistakes you made, you didn't just start calling him and or texting him and or finding out where he was, what he was doing, all about him at the end. You likely were doing that all the way through.
No. At the very, I only got like that at when he blocked me and just went no contact and said he needed space. During the beginning, we would talk like maybe during the day, maybe in the morning. He may call me when he got off work, and then a lot of times when he got off work, he would be coming over to my place. He stayed in my place at least three nights a week, and then we would hang out on every other weekend. If he didn't have his daughter, or if he did, we would do family stuff.
Okay, but was he doing all the reaching out, or were you calling, texting, offering to see him?
I feel like the reaching out was kind of mutual. Now, I would say if he did reach, like whatever he wanted to do, I would always say yes.
Okay, so right there, when I hear any woman say it was mutual, I know, not good. It must be him. 80%. It's why the 80-20 Wonder Club. 80% him. We strive for 100% him. If we miss by 20%, it's not going to much matter. But it cannot be 50-50. It cannot be mutual.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We have been sold a bill of goods.
So when you say mutual, like, okay, say he would text me every morning, good morning. And so then I would text him back. And then I would maybe call him when I got off work.
Nope.
Or he would call me some days.
Again, that's more mutual. That doesn't allow for the man to wonder. It feels good to you. You feel connected. You feel in a committed relationship. You feel good about it. But it doesn't allow for him to wonder. And it doesn't pull up on his natural need to pursue. Men fall in love and stay in love through the act of having to pursue the woman's time, attention, and affection. It's not fair. It's not even fun to a great degree because you feel like you have to hold yourself back from something you certainly can do, but it hurts us. It sucks, but it doesn't work. If it worked, we wouldn't have anywhere near the relationship issues we have at all. It doesn't work. This has been propagated from our modern society that because we are equal, that means we are the same and we love the same and have the same needs, wants, all of it. Couldn't be farther from the truth. We love in completely opposite ways that are simpatico, yin and yang.
So what do you think about, so he told me he does not want to talk to me and that we need space, but I'm going to be honest, I miss him a lot. I'm not really interested in dating anybody. He had a lot of good qualities, and I just feel like I don't know if I should give up or do I just give him space.
Have you not been giving him space? Have you continued to try to get in touch with him?
Yes.
Mm.
And I've tried to get in touch with him, and I'll be honest, I have said some pretty mean things to him in regards to him moving on.
It's a huge mistake, but you can rectify it. I'm hearing that it started out in a way whereby you can rectify it. In other words, you told me you waited 3 months. You allowed him to court you.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge because all of that time he was falling for you. It gave him the time and the space, the breadth and width to fall for you so that by the time you had sex, he was all in.
Yep.
That's major. So right there, Pippa, you did yourself a huge service. So there is definitely a possibility here. If you fundamentally change your approach and you change it in the right way, readily, you can reset his need, passion, desire for you. And you can have this back if you go step by step with it. But you have to fundamentally change your beliefs that are hurting you and your approach, your behavior with him. That will not get you anywhere what you've been doing.
Okay. I understand that. I do understand some of the flaws in the behavior. However, you know, he literally told me he does not want to contact me anymore. I mean, he does not want me to contact him.
He doesn't right now. That's right. He doesn't right now. Because your most recent history, meaning just since you've broken up, has taken the patina off of all of this, has colored all of his experiences with you for somewhat of a foreseeable future, meaning right now and for a little bit ahead of us. But that will revert. If the love was really there and the connection I'm hearing you had is as strong as what it sounds like it was to me, with shared values in a way and shared experiences, meaning you both have a child, you were looking for a real relationship, marriage, and maybe blending your families in a way.
Yep.
You can have this back. This is the crux of my lure him back approach. We get you right with what works with men, get your behaviors in line with that. You manifest and materialize him back, having made the changes you need to have made, and you can have this back. And you can have it back fully committed, because you can't take it back with anything less.
Okay.
So that begs the question, do you know if he were to come to you tomorrow with the biggest mea culpa ever and begging for forgiveness, and he would want to marry you and was on bended knee, would you want that?
Yes.
Okay, that's all we need to know.
I believe you're my soulmate.
Wonderful. You can get this. Now that may seem like pie in the sky. Even people listening, pie in the sky.
I said, absolutely, I agree. Because he's so mad at me that I found out, and that I mean, I won't lie, I said very mean things to him. He's so mad at me, he says he does not want anything to do with me.
Okay, that's true right now. And you have to heed that and get busy on the back end doing what will have him back. That may seem, like I said, so pie in the sky, but it truly is not. It's what I work with, and I have seen it countless times. I've been doing this for a number of years. When I am pretty strong in my conviction that it can happen, I would say more than 9 times out of 10, it does. I know he will be back, but you cannot have any urgency about this. You have to get busy on you and fundamentally learning what you need to learn, changing this, and turning it around.
Mm-hmm.
You can. I know you have it in you because you started correctly. You have it in you to hold off. And your 90-day rule that you made for yourself, that worked very well to get him exceedingly interested.
Well, this is what the problem was. I can do the 90-day rule. But once we started to talk and see each other more, he began to complain that I didn't tell him that I wouldn't. He would say, you don't tell me that you miss me. You don't invite me over as much. When you're doing your errands, I want to go. So he began to complain about those things. So I kind of let my guard down. And so I can begin to invite him in. And so now it got to the point, like, we even went to the grocery store together. So now it's like I'm having a hard time just doing simple things without him, because he kind of infiltrated my whole life. Before I was independent, I would go do things, and he would just be like, hey, don't leave me out. If you're going somewhere, I want to go. I want to be a part of it, no matter how big or small.
I understand. And this is something that I tell women all the time. You must guard against it. In other words, in some ways, you can think about it like you fell for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not that he was lying. Men are on top of time. He wanted those things in those moments. When a woman hears, you don't tell me this or that. You don't seem to want me to do XYZ with you. How come you don't tell me you are, you know, XYZ? Whatever it is, this needs to be music to your ears. You need to know that you are making him want you, making him wonder. It's all good. But if you give in to it and you go the whole other way, you are going to hurt yourself. It will satiate him. Men need space. It is in the space that they actually do most of their loving.
I heard that on the website, on the 80/20 website.
Yeah, that's where they do their loving. If you know anything about, like, men are like bodybuilders. Bodybuilders don't build their muscle in the gym. They have to go to the gym, pump iron, and then in their off time, when they're eating and sleeping, that's when the muscle grows. It's like that. It's a balancing act that when you do see them, you connect very deeply, but you keep the time to a minimum. You keep him wondering, longing, until he gets to a point where he doesn't want to do that anymore and he makes the decision to commit.
Okay.
So I'm hearing that you can have this after a time of resetting it, but you have to fundamentally make a huge change for yourself and recalibrate yourself, realign with what's going to work. So what question do you have for me about this?
Well, okay, I understand what you're saying about the formally committing. I kind of pushed him onto a commitment that he didn't formally make with, you know, making him, like, pay for things and provide things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's my thing. I have a hard time because, you know, I have a townhouse. I have my own car. I work, you know, the things that most adults do. So when I meet a man, You know, I guess I like to feel a certain way. I'm not saying you have to provide everything for me, but it's like I expect you to court me. And I feel like he definitely did that part. But I guess I just kind of have to change some things about me as far as toning it down. You know what I mean? I guess from my past hurt, if I don't have some, I feel like because I've overdone for men in the past, once I broke that chain, I just never wanted to overplay my role. So it's like I'm kind of demanding with financial things. And so mm-hmm. I know that's something I would have to work on. But I just genuinely feel with him, it's like I really believe he's a great guy. He's a great catch. I really do. Even despite him saying, you know, stepping out to go play with something fun. Like he said, oh, she's fun. She doesn't have any expectations of me. You know, I really don't care. I know how men can just go sleep with anything, but I guess the fact that he just went so cold turkey and like he's good without talking to me, that's what makes me wonder, like, gosh, will you ever come back? Because I literally told him everything, like, listen, really care for you, you know, I want to be there for you, you know, just I'll even forgive you for the cheating, don't even worry about that. And it's still like, no, I want my space. And I'm like, we were literally together. We literally just came back from a family trip. So I'm just like, how do you just break up with me this fast and you just move on and you're just, and I've been having a really hard time adjusting. I'll be honest with you. I have like picked up more days in the gym to keep me occupied, but I'm just having, even my daughter, you know, she's used to seeing him. So she's like, where is he at? Are we doing family night? You know, cause we did things, you know, that she would look forward to, but I won't lie. I was really mad. I was really mad when I found out. So I really, really said some harsh things to him. And he was just like, look, I still care about you, but I don't dislike you, but I just need space. And I'm not sure he will come back, you know, especially with him unfollowing me on Instagram. It's like, where will we see each other, you know?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a primer on how you begin to change this for yourself. Because it is your beliefs that are doing this to you. And what I'm hearing is that you had programming from your very earliest experience that you have pushed against consciously, but subconsciously they are driving your behavior. And you lashed out at him for not choosing you, for feeling abandoned, but you created your experience of love from your earliest childhood experience of it. In other words, I don't know if in some way you were left to your own devices or felt abandoned or not worthy of having.
I really didn't. I don't have any childhood trauma. I had both parents. you know, I really don't have any childhood trauma. I have an ex now. Where my relationship trauma comes is from my ex. I overplayed my part with him, I feel. You know, like, say if he was like, oh, well, I can't get groceries. I would be like, oh, I'll get you groceries. You know what I mean?
And okay, we use trauma as with a big T. And all humans, when they're babies, have trauma with a little T. All. Some have little and big. But all of us have it because we all come into the world completely and utterly vulnerable, and we are shown, meaning programmed, how to behave to get our needs met. And what I'm hearing when anyone says, I have trauma from my exes, it's the chicken and the egg here. We know that the trauma we experience with exes is because we were most attracted to those men who replicated our earliest childhood experience of love, which is our programming. So there's somewhere along the line, and I'm not saying you have trauma with a big T, you didn't. It's that you, somewhere along the line, have the programmed belief that you must be a giver, do, and that is why you get your love. So we grow up and then we play those things out, those beliefs we play out in our adult relationships, romantic relationships. So you meet a man, you shower him with love and give and give and give, and then expect, well, because I do that, I rightfully so should get it. It doesn't work with men. It doesn't leave the space they need, and it doesn't allow them to love in their natural way, which is attempting to get your attention, love, and affection. So somewhere along the line, you were programmed to believe that by giving freely and lovingly, you will be loved and get your needs met. And if it only worked that way, would be wonderful if it did, but it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could understand that.
So you...
According to him, I didn't give enough, though. I told you he would tell me he didn't feel appreciated.
Because on the flip side, you're showing you don't pay for this. You don't do enough of that. You had a little bit of this prove it to me attitude.
You're right, I did. Prove it to me.
Yeah. That is a mixed message. Because that came out of your actual fear that if I do give in the way I should, because you lived it out, and in previous relationships, you did give it, expecting to get it, and you didn't. So it's like, well, I'm not doing that again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
You have all the fundamentals here to make this work. We just have to reframe, restrain, reset, recalibrate, and then he will be back and you can restart this. But then it must be restarted in a way whereby he sees the change, he experiences the change in you, he does feel appreciated, wanted, but we still hold him accountable for what the man can do and give and what will make for the best relationship, which is full commitment. So this is the start of it for you, Pippa, and we can talk more about how you do this step by step. Pippa, you can do this. I hear all the fundamentals here. We need to do it step by step. And women in the club will know a lot about my lure him back approach. That may be new to you and new to some listeners, but I'm going to outline it for you in that you first start by doing nothing, stopping everything you have done so far in terms of any reaching out to him. Can you do that?
So nothing? Stop apologizing to him?
Well, you say he's blocked you.
He has, but he hasn't blocked me on Instagram, so we can still message on iMessage, but he's unfollowed.
Okay, you must fundamentally get that you must start making him wonder. First of all, you needed to apologize for nothing. He cheated on you. Yes, you didn't know that you were to be giving him space. And yes, you didn't know all the nuance of relationships and what I'm talking about here, but that is not enough to afford him the opportunity to just ghost you, cheat on you, and do all that he did. There is nothing for you to apologize for. You might be apologizing for going off on him. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I apologize for going off on him multiple times. I apologize for the mishaps in the relationship as well.
Okay. All that does is make him think, you know, you're a decent person, but it does not inspire his interest for more at all.
I thought that it would, but it didn't.
It doesn't. If it worked, you'd have him back. Ladies, it never works. It is begging. It lowers a man's interest. Men do not have interest through anything like that. The only thing that inspires them is to be a worthy opponent. You stay in your lane, knowing how to play your game of life in the way that you do, and he stays in his, and you must be a worthy opponent. Worthy opponents who play at the same level don't beg the other player to play with them. They don't have to. Only players that are terrible have to beg for the better player to play with them, correct?
You're right.
And that does not inspire the pro to ever want to play with the other guy. We're the opponent. You can do this. We've got to work step by step to recalibrate this. He's allowed for you to be on Instagram, but he doesn't interact with you. You just send him apologetic messages. Is that the deal?
Pretty much, yeah. I will send him a message. He'll see it and be like, okay, well, I just need space, or, you know, we've like had conversations, but of course not going anywhere. The last one that we had specifically, because I kind of went on a rant, kind of, you know, cursed him out. He wrote me back and was like, I just don't want to have anything to do with you. It's not that I dislike you. I just don't want to have anything to do with you right now.
Mm-hmm. All you do is completely go silent. I mean, not one message. You must start making him wonder, and you must start showing that you actually do pay deference to his needs. He's told you what he's wanted. That's it. Can you stop?
I will have to.
You must, if this is going to work. Then we have to get busy with you putting in your mind the positive statements that it is going to work. This is the way. It will work. I can almost guarantee you, if you do it, he will be hitting you up with a text. I can't tell you when, but I can tell you that he will. If, and only if, you go completely silent.
Okay.
Now.
So this weekend will be my first test.
Good. I love that. I love hearing that. That's the can-do spirit that will work. So you do that. What I would recommend is that you, if you are posting all the time, do you post all the time?
I post sometimes, but he doesn't follow me. Follow me.
Okay, fantastic. Are you following him?
Nope.
Great. Wonderful. So there is no reason that you should be reaching out to him. That is it. You have to know, and I would take Pippa. We've never met. We've never talked before today. And right now, because I do this work with women, I would take, if I could, everything I have and bet it all on my knowing he will be back. He will be contacting you. If you do it this way. That's how much I know it. If I could hand that knowing over to you so that you could, I would give it to you wholeheartedly, because it has worked for every woman that I tell this to. I have to say, it's come to pass.
I've heard the stories on the 80-20.
Yes. So just start stepping into my knowledge and belief. If you do it this way, it's gonna work for you. But it's what you do when he comes back. Right now, all you have to do is one big word. Wondering what I'm going to tell Pippa she must do to reset Dan's interest, get him wondering, and feeling how he felt for Pippa in the beginning? In the rest of this episode, I outline for Pippa the exact approach she'll need to use to make Dan reach out to her again so this relationship can get restarted on the right track to the commitment it needs to go the distance. And because I want you to get the results you desire with your current or future Mr. Right, I invite you to check out the 80/20 Wonder Club, an exclusive membership-only club of the Making Wonder podcast, as that is the only way you'll be able to hear the rest of what I tell Pippa what she can do to have the best chance of getting Dan back and back better. You may be thinking that it's impossible or improbable, but I've worked with hundreds of women who have made this happen, who not only get back with their love, but secure committed love, get engagement and marriage. I know this can happen for Pippa because of several factors: the way things started, what the relationship was like when it was going well, and the obvious love that Dan has for Pippa. So don't miss out on hearing the rest of this episode and 200 more like it, all ad-free and categorized by age and relationship status, plus all new episodes the moment they're formatted. An 80/20 Wonder Club membership also includes my Making Magic with Men Mindset Manual, a weekly video series of mindset and mechanics practices for you to do at your own pace. Join monthly and cancel at any time, or get extra savings by committing to a 6 or 12 month membership. Not only will you get over 200 ad-free episodes and my Making Magic with Men Mindset Manual, with the extra savings of a 12-month membership, you also receive a full coaching intensive experience where you'll be talking to me personally in a conversation like you just heard. It's a real game changer. I don't want you to miss out. So go now to the8020wonder.club. Join an amazing group of Wonder Women who are committed to succeeding in their love life, and hear the rest of what I tell Pippa she must do to have Dan feeling safe to restart the relationship and come back fully committed. Don't miss out on how to make your man wonder in the right way to have the divine right results you desire in your romantic life. Go now to the8020wonder.club. That's the8020wonder.club. You and your love will be glad you did.